Special day here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, but this is a biggie. 500 years ago, on October 31st, Martin Luther nailed or taped or pasted or something the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. And though he did not expect to begin something called the Reformation, that wasn't the first thesis, we should start a Reformation. Things got rolling, and things got rolling, and the gospel was clearly proclaimed. And we're embarking this year on really probably 20, 30 years of anniversaries. 500th anniversary of this, 500th anniversary of that, you know, so on and so forth as we move through. The 95 Theses got things started. If you read them, you know, there's a lot of good stuff there, but there's still a long way to go for Martin Luther. And so in a couple years, we'll have the 500th anniversary of the Diet of Worms, and that will be a big moment. And 10 years after that, we'll celebrate the 500th anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, an even bigger day, perhaps you could say, than today. And through all of that, the history's great. We should learn it. We should love it. We should enjoy it. The personalities are amazing and wonderful. We should learn about them, learn about Martin Luther and his companions. But what is most important? It's not there. There is a crucifix. We got the other one in the back there. It's Christ. Christ and Him crucified. That is what the Reformation is and was and will always be about. Christ Jesus and Him crucified for sinners like you and me. Thanks be to God that He uses His instruments to bring forth the proclamation of the gospel 500 years ago and even today. Thanks be to God. Our service this day, divine service, setting number 3, page 184, we will have a procession. So as soon as we start singing, I will invite you all to stand and face the cross as it enters the sanctuary. A lot of special music, and we in advance thank all those who provided their skills and talents of music this day. And so we'll try and keep you informed about that as we move through. You see some of them are early service, some of them are late service songs. Our opening hymn this day, I mean, what else could we do? A mighty fortress is our God, hymn 656. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that you work through your instruments to bring forth and proclaim the gospel in this and every age. We thank you for the work of Martin Luther, whom you raised up to unearth and bring to light once again the pure and saving gospel. And we pray, O Lord, that that gospel would sound forth here in this place and throughout our world. We thank you, O Lord, as we gather together to celebrate this day, that we celebrate not a man, we celebrate not men or people, we celebrate you. And we rejoice, we boast in you and your salvation. And we thank you for those who have proclaimed it to us. Your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 656.
Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the days you find in the front of your bulletin insert. Be to God on high. We continue with the Kyrie on page 186. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for our scripture readings.
The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, to every tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. John, the 8th chapter. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 947, All Glory Be to God on High. Please be seated.
we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon, this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome. Dear friends in Christ, behind the altar of St. Mary's Church in Wittenberg, Germany, the place where Martin Luther preached most of his sermons, stands a painting. In four parts, Lucas Cranach the Elder and his son tried to capture in art the theology of the Reformation. On the left side for you, it's my right side, Philip Melanchthon, Luther's friend, Luther's companion, is baptizing a baby. On the right side, Johannes Bugenhagen, pastor of St. Mary's Church, is hearing confession and pronouncing absolution. And right in the center, Jesus Christ himself is distributing his own body and blood to the disciples at the Last Supper, one of whom looks curiously enough like Martin Luther. And then finally, under that centerpiece is the painting you have on the back of your bulletin today. Take a look. On the one side is Luther in the pulpit, a very familiar sight for those four walls and the gathered congregation at St. Mary's. On the other side is that gathered congregation. And in the middle, between the two, is the crucified Christ. Luther is preaching, and though you can't hear the words, in fact, take a close look, his mouth isn't even open. His message, the very message of the Reformation, is coming through loud and clear. Christ crucified for sinners. His outstretched hand tells the tale. Luther is pointing to Christ. Christ alone, Christ for you. You see, Luther isn't pointing to himself, to his own deeds or works, the good things he has done. He already tried to achieve salvation by that route, and he found it to be a dead-end road. St. Paul tells us the reason why. We know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. You see, the law wasn't given so that we could be saved by it. The law wasn't given so that we can chatter and boast about what we have done, so that we can compare ourselves with others. On the one hand, we despair because we haven't done enough, especially compared to those super saints that we see around us. Or, on the other hand, we puff out our chests with pride because we think that we have done plenty, at least compared with him or her. We talk and we talk and we talk about ourselves, about our own deeds, about what we have done or achieved. And when you live your life that way, dear friends, then the only hope that you have on your deathbed is, I think I've lived a good enough life. And then Christianity is the religion of karma, the religion of what goes around comes around, the religion of I hope I've done enough. The law of God says, do this, and it is never done. What is the law actually for? By works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The law teaches us that we are sinners. The law of God is good and wise, and it holds us accountable. It shuts our mouths, for as St. Paul says, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is made righteous. No one is right in God's eyes according to the law, no matter how hard you try. The law reveals instead that you have sinned, that you have fallen short of the glory of God. You are stuck, trapped, with no way out. You are a sinner. You deserve death and hell. That is the truth that the law of God proclaims to you. The law is righteous, and you, dear friends, are not. You have nothing that you can say, no argument that you can make, and that is exactly where God wants you. He wants your mouth shut, because he has something to say. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You cannot become righteous through the law, for the law simply reveals to you how unrighteous you are. Instead, God has revealed a righteousness apart from the law, completely separate from the law. That law can only drive you to know your need for this righteousness, to desire it. It cannot deliver it. This righteousness is found only in Jesus. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. You are made righteous before God only through Jesus. Jesus alone. Jesus, the gift of God to you. God sent his Son into the world, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And the law executed its judgment on Jesus, the Holy One, the Innocent One. He is, as St. Paul says, a propitiation. A pretty fancy theological word that means, on the one hand, the one side of the coin, that Jesus is our sacrifice, the sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath. And on the other side of the coin, he is the sacrifice that cancels our guilt, the debt that we owe. You see, the law gives us the bill, a bill that we cannot pay. And then the law demands that we pay up, that this bill be settled. But God provides himself the payment with his own Son's shed blood. He himself gives the sacrifice that satisfies his own wrath. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he has passed over former sins. You see, God cannot simply ignore sin. He is just. He is righteous. He is holy. Sin must be paid for. The debt has to be paid, or else God is not just, not righteous, not holy. He is unpredictable, capricious, no better than you and I. It was to show his righteousness in the present time, so he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Dear friends, your sin cannot be ignored, and it wasn't. Instead, it was put upon Jesus. God in the flesh, the perfect sacrifice, dying not for his own sin, but for yours. On the cross, God's justice, God's righteousness is vindicated. On the cross, God punishes sin, even your sin. On the cross, God is the one who makes you just, who makes you righteous freely as a gift. The law couldn't do it. It is a gift to be received by faith. The law says, do this, and it is never done. The gospel says, believe this, for it is already done. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. There's no room for boasting, for the kind of chatter that we love to make, talking about our three favorite subjects, me, myself, and I. The law has shut our mouths, showing us our utter lack of righteousness. And the gospel has shut our mouths, showing us that our salvation is a gift received by faith alone. There's no room for boasting. Boasting has been shut out. At least, no boasting in ourselves. We can, and we should, and we have been, this entire service, been boasting in the giver, boasting in the gift. But we ourselves are beggars, recipients of a grace that is as shocking as it is bountiful. The gospel proclaims to us that we are righteous. We are justified by Christ alone. His blood poured out to pay the price that we owed. His death in our place received by faith. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Faith alone justifies, because it looks to Jesus, because it clings to his cross. And then, guess what? Works follow. Not to make us righteous, but because we have been made righteous. The law still has something to say to you. Kills your old man by driving you to daily repentance, and guides the new man in the way that a Christian should live. But it doesn't justify. It doesn't make you righteous. It never could. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Now, faith doesn't justify because it's somehow a better work than all the others. Faith justifies because it receives the accomplished work of Christ. Faith justifies only because its object, what it believes in, is the crucified and risen Jesus. Even that faith itself is a gift of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the Word, preaching which points to Christ and him alone. Behind the altar at the church of St. Peter and St. Paul in Weimar, Germany, stands a painting. In one magnificent piece of art, Lucas Cranach the Younger set himself once again, as he had done with his father years before, to capture the theology of the Reformation. And that painting is on the front of your bulletin today. In this one complex scene, and I invite you to kind of explore it and see what all is there, Cranach gives us many of the events in the history of salvation, from the presentation of the Ten Commandments, to the bronze serpent, to the appearance of the angels at Bethlehem. Jesus, if you'll notice, is on there three times. First, he is the Lamb who was slain and yet lives again, bearing the banner of victory. He is also there before his open grave, left empty behind him with his enemies, your enemies, death and Satan lying crushed beneath his feet. And of course, he is there at the center, upon the cross, shedding his blood for the sin of the world. There are three men standing next to the cross. The first is John the Baptist. And the forerunner is doing what he always does, pointing to Christ, extending that long, bony finger at Jesus, Christ alone. The third in line is Martin Luther. And he is pointing to the Bible, the Scriptures, where the crucified and risen Christ is proclaimed to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. In the middle, looking directly at you, dear friends, is the artist himself, Lucas Cranach, and the blood of Christ is pouring onto his head. He is covered with the blood of Christ. Christ is his righteousness. And his gaze, looking directly at you, is inviting you to put yourself in his place. We point to Christ. Christ alone. We preach Christ, Christ alone. For his blood covers you. His blood justifies you, declaring you righteous before your God. You are saved by God's grace alone, poured out in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone, revealed in the Scriptures alone, proclaimed, received by faith alone. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory, page 192. We'll be right back. At this time, in grateful rejoicing to our Lord for all the gifts that He has so bountifully given to us, we receive our gifts and our offerings. At this time also, we would ask you to participate in the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please sign in and pass it along, we receive our gifts and our offerings. Stand for prayer. Let us pray to our dear Father in heaven as His dear children, begging Him to hear us in His mercy and grant to us all things needful and profitable for our salvation. Gracious God, we give You thanks for Your faithfulness in raising up voices in every age and generation to recall Your people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remembering blessed Martin Luther and those who contended with him for the sake of the kingdom, we ask you to raise up in our own time faithful pastors who will preach Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the edification of your people and for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, you did not abandon us to sin and death, but delivered up your own Son to the cross, in order to redeem a lost and condemned people. Keep your saving gospel as the center of the church's proclamation to the world, and keep us from abandoning this confession, especially in time of persecution and threat. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Lord, you sent forth faithful civic leaders who protected those who risked all to renew the doctrine and life of your church. Raise up in our own time those in authority who will honor your word, govern according to your wisdom, and provide freedom to worship without fear. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, you continually look upon us in our weakness and infirmity, and grant grace sufficient for our need. Deliver the sick from their afflictions, relieve the suffering, give comfort to those who mourn, and give peace to those in the hour of death. Give your peace and comfort to all who mourn, especially the family of Linda Ahrens, whose father was laid to rest this past week, the family of Larry Eisenman, laid to rest the week before, and the family of Barb Poppy, whose sister was laid to rest yesterday in Texas. May your strength be made perfect in their weakness, your patience sustain them in their troubles, and your peace console them until you deliver them with perfect healing. Lord, in your mercy, blessed Lord, you know better than we our needs and the needs of your church and your world. Give us faith that we may not fear in time of trouble, nor fall away in time of prosperity. As we have been given this day and this time, give us boldness to confess the saving doctrine that has been handed down to us, proclaimed and defended by all the saints, and brought to light once again by Martin Luther and the other reformers. Help us to cling to this faith without compromise and without fear. For in you, with you, and through you are all things, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to you we give glory forever and ever. Amen. The service of the sacrament is found on page 194.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, and we are praising you and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strength and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand and we continue with the Nunc Dimittis on page 199. Give thanks, you Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated, and we close with hymn 578, Thy Strong Word. The congregation sings verse 1, and the choir will sing verse 4.
salutation to all of you as we celebrate this wonderful day, as it always is every year, but especially this year, 500th anniversary. You know, we were considering how to celebrate, and, you know, some vicar suggested 500 days of services, and when we pointed out that he would preach on about 498 of them, that came down. We talked about 500 hours of worship service, but we decided not to do that. So we'll just celebrate again on Wednesday night at 6:30. We'll have another divine service, another celebration of the Reformation. We'll continue the celebration then. We want to thank all the special music, our musicians, our instrumentalists, our choir, our Sunday school kids have already cycled back to their parents. We want to thank everyone for using their wonderful gifts of music, and for Connie for putting it all together and helping get all this coordinated. And Vicar even did a little directing. How about that? So thanks be to God for the wonderful gifts that He gives to those here in our congregation, and thank you for sharing them with us. A couple of announcements for today. First of all, the Bible classes. We have a summary of Christian doctrine that will be in room 109, and we are doing the Christian's Life of Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. In the fellowship hall, we're getting close to the end of our study on stewardship, I think probably this week and next week, and so that will be led by myself in the fellowship hall. As I said before, regular schedule on Wednesday, Reformation service again. Pastor Poppy, as you probably noted in the prayers, Diane Grenkel, Barb's sister, was laid to rest in the Dallas area, I believe, yesterday morning, and so of course that's kind of, you know, physically impossible to make it back in time, so they're about halfway back worshiping in Wichita, I believe, right? Yeah. Pastor Russert's former church in Wichita is where they're worshiping, and then we'll make the rest of the way homeward. So pray for their safety and for the continued comfort for Barb and her family. Any other announcements? Anything I'm missing?
Next week we have daylight saving time.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, as I always say, I could use two or three of those, but they only give us one a year. So, yes, and the surprise. Well, it is in the news and notes.